Welcome to the Hawkeye Sidekick Podcast.
And you're very welcome back to the Hawkeye Sidekick Hurling Podcast with your host Mark Kennedy, joined again this week by Kieran Collins, Rory Walsh. Lads, how are things?
Pretty good, Mark.
Great. I suppose the focus tonight is on Munster Senior Hurling Championship Round 1. We'll preview Round 2 as well. We'll also look at the Joe McDonagh Cup. I know we didn't have a preview last week, but there's some interesting results there in Round 1. And Round 2 this weekend looks quite tantalising. I suppose, guys, can we get your reflections on Munster Senior Hurling Championship last weekend? I suppose, Rory, start off with yourself. I suppose Cusack Park Ennis. It's all going swimmingly well for Clare after 53 minutes. Can you still comprehend what happened in the last 17?
I spent a week trying to comprehend it, really. I suppose you're looking at two things. You're looking at Clare, what went wrong for Clare, and what went right for Limerick, I suppose, are the two major things. And we often speak about how a game of hurling can swing in a moment and so on. And definitely the long-range free, let's say, that ended up in the net was definitely a turning point. But I've spoken to this to a few people as well. Like, if it was the other way around and Limerick were in that position that Clare were in, and Clare had got a goal like that, you just see Limerick having that composure to, you know, deal with it, slow things down. But Clare, like, whatever the first goal, when the second one went in, like, it was full-on panic. Lohan even mentioned about how the shape was completely lost. By the third goal, you ended up in a situation where you had Dermot Ryan and Paul Flanagan in Limerick's half of the field, with Garrod Hegarty 30 yards unmarked. The other corner, like, by that stage, like, you know, the Clare defence had broken down, which, you know, shouldn't really happen to a team. And, like, these are experienced players as well we're talking about there. And look, it was worrying how that happened. So there was an element of Clare getting 9 points up on the four-time All-Ireland champions, which the only team that had done that previously were Tipperary in that Munster final during the COVID years. And then there was that, I suppose, collapse is the best word to describe it in the last 15 minutes. Now, bear in mind, like, there were three goals that went in. I don't want to go on about square balls and stuff. The third one was a square ball, which we will mention. But look, in the moment of the game, when the ball is zipping across the goal, it is marginal when it's played at full speed and all that. But look, everything that could go wrong, I suppose, did go wrong in those last few minutes. Talking about things within your control, substitutions definitely within your control. All Limerick subs added something to the team, brought energy to the team, whereas Clare didn't have that impact off the bench that Limerick had. So look, there's different factors. Like, one in particular for me was Rory Hayes was playing really well. He had been switched. Adam Hogan started by following David Reedy out the field. And, like, that's not Adam Hogan's strength. David Reedy was causing a bit of havoc in the first quarter. The minute Clare switched Rory Hayes out there, who, you know, has played a lot more outfield with his club and so on. And whereas you want Adam Hogan in marking. Once that switch happened, like, I thought Clare came into the game. And it sometimes one switch can change things. And so when Rory Hayes has been taken off, I think it's because he got a yellow card. Lohan was worried he'd get sent off, maybe. Because from a playing point of view, I don't think there was any reason to take him off. But Clare brought on Paul Flanagan, who was then doing like a third midfielder role. And that's what I mean by just substitutions not being right, whereas Limerick's all seem to work out as well. So look, there's just one example. Like, I think if you're going like for like there, you're bringing on a half-back for Rory Hayes at that stage because of the position he was playing in, or a midfielder even. So there are things within your control that went wrong. And overall, it just kind of, yeah, led to a situation where you're up 9 points and 15 minutes later you're losing again by three. So yeah, all those things combined.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there, I suppose. What were your thoughts on that Cusack Park fixture?
For me, I think it shows Limerick's the mental strength of the players and the setup. Like, I heard Garrod Hegarty interviewed after the game, he's on off the ball, and he mentioned at halftime there were 5 points down, but he said that we didn't panic. Like, you know, they were happy in their I suppose the chances they created. Yeah, they probably weren't happy in the wides and I suppose the free count. But just to hear, you know, he's saying like that a team 5 points down in a away match against your local rivals. Like, I think a lot of players in different setups, there would be a panic button at that stage. You know, at half time, and Clare were the better team at that stage. But I think it's the mental strength for Limerick. Like, you know, 3 minutes on the clock, 9 points in it. I think majority teams throw the towel in, you know, and that game goes to 13, 14, 15-point win. But just the mental strength to come back into the game. And I suppose once they got the substitution, as Roy said, were the big difference. Like, I think definitely Adam English and Boy Connor Boylan, while they didn't score, I think it's the work they carried out and they're on the middle. And I think Andy Bingish really made a big impact when he came in. You know, Donegal Dáilg carrying on from his league, you know, form, you know, scoring 1-1. And these subs, in essence, were the difference, I think, at the end. You know, Limerick outscored Clare. It was 3-6, 3 points in that 17 minutes. While Clare lost their shape at the back, there's no question about that. And I think Rory made a good point on substitutions. And to me, it's a point I wanted to make. Like, okay, Shane Amore came in at half-time for loan. I think Flanagan, the reason probably was about him was because of being on the yellow, I suppose, you know, and Conor Cleary was as well, maybe at the same time. But to me, it was in the forwards. Okay, look, I understand Tony Kelly coming in. They were 9 points up and just a lift to give to the crowd, seeing him warm up on the sideline and so on. And look, he did come on and score 2 points. And as well, they need to get game time into him somewhere. Like, we're in the middle of this round robin now, and, you know, there's no challenge games anymore. There's no easy games. You know, you have to come up to speed. But for me, Shane Meehan and Aaron Shanahan, they're not game winners. I think Aaron Shanahan to me is an enigma. Like, he's been in and out for the last couple of years, coming in late on in games and, you know, maybe scoring a point to them. But these guys don't take a game by the scruff of the neck and go and win it. I think we've seen with maybe, and I suppose it's been highlighted over the last couple of years, is Limerick's bench coming on and maybe scoring 1-2, 1-3 in games to see out games. And to me, like, seeing them two guys come on, you know, we talked and we probably applauded Clare's strength and they're building their panel in the last couple of weeks in the league. But, you know, the likes of Keith Smith, like, who impressed in the league, and, you know, Sean Rinn, you know, these guys, okay, they are young, but they did impress. And, like, you know, why not give these guys a chance? I think Shanahan has had his chance, to be honest. Shamey, and well, I think, Roy, you highly rate him, but in a Clare jersey, I don't think he's done it. And he hasn't done it at a consistent level, so... Mm-hmm. I just think it's very questionable. I think Niall O'Mara made a point last week about, you know, Clare's biggest downfall might be the sideline. And I think after that game, it's a very valid point. And, you know, it's probably something I wouldn't have saw or looked at before he made it. But, you know, I suppose when things like these happen, I suppose you do kind of have to question it. Like, you know, be it they were 9 points up, but you still need your subs to come on and make an impact.
Rory, do you want to come in?
Yeah, the big one for me, I suppose, was Ian Galvin not being used. Like, Shamey and I do rate, but Ian Galvin would be ahead of him, like, in terms of experience, and especially with the game, you know, what should have been opening up at that stage. Even a small thing, I suppose, when Kelly came in, was a perfect time to put Shane O'Donnell out to half forward line, you know, straight away, put Kelly inside in the full forward line, maybe, you know, just to get into him, and he'd cause problems inside as well. That was another option, but I suppose there's two things, and it's hindsight. I suppose from the very start, if you're looking at starting teams, Lohan probably got a lot of the decisions right at the start. Like, David McInerney hadn't played a lot of league, but was doing great in Hegarty until second half when Hegarty switched and Clare didn't switch McInerney with him. McInerney seemed to run out of a bit of steam as well, and that could have been maybe he was in that middle third where fresh legs might have been needed there. Bear in mind it was his first 70 minutes, you know. But also as well, like I thought you could argue Kiely here went with, we mentioned this last week, he went with experience ahead of form. And it could nearly have cost him because Tom Morrissey hadn't been going well in the league, didn't play well. Seamus Flanagan hadn't been going well, didn't play well. And it was the guys that were showing up in the league, you know. Adam English had one game in the league where he scored 5 points from play. I think it was a Tipperary match. Then you had also Donegal Dáilg, who scored 3-16 from play all through the league coming in. So, you know, I know they offered it from the bench, but if Clare had got a goal when they were up 8 or 9 points at that stage, instead of when Limerick got one, that game was over. And people would be blaming Kiely then for getting the starting team wrong. No, but I do agree though with what Niall said last week and what Kieran said there. I think game management during the game, Limerick won that battle on the sideline in terms of, you know, managing the game, making the switches during the match. It's one thing, I suppose, naming the right starting team, but being able to react to things as they happen. So, for example, I just thought, like, another thing, I suppose, with puck outs, Peter Duggan in the first half was causing havoc and he was a real target man, and then Clare just stopped hitting ball to him. You can imagine Limerick at half time trying to address that and saying, okay, we have to stop Peter Duggan catching ball, because, you know, I think 3 scores came directly off puck outs to Peter Duggan. And then Clare just solved the problem for Limerick. I think one ball was hit to Peter Duggan in the second half, like, which,
yeah. You know, I think you know, there was a scene there at the end where I think he showed his frustration, where he put the finger up to Quilligan in goal to say, like, I've got one ball in the second half, you know. He was unused. For me, Rory, I suppose, I know he is a creator in ways, but is he scoring enough, you know, for a forward? Like, I know he's used as a target man inside, but is he contributing enough to score lines? since he's come back. Like before he went to Australia, like he was, you know, showing signs of being a real talisman. But since he's come back, like he's been shy on the score sheet.
Like. Yeah, no, so he's like a different type of player. I think what he offers now is just like he's winning frees. He's turning ball over. He's more that kind of a forward now. I think other players are scoring because of him, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I still think he's worth his place there, especially like, look at the rest of the Clare half forward line. And this is what annoys me a bit, small bit about David Fitzgerald. For all his talent, he does not win. He's not a puck out target. He doesn't even like want to contest. Against Limerick, it looked like he didn't really want to contest puck outs either. Like he's just looking to feed off the break of them, which is fine, but you have to have somebody there to contest. With Shane O'Donnell inside in the full forward line, that left a lot on Duggan. And in fairness to him, he did step up to it. Like he was, I think in one way, at the very start of the game, I thought Clare were lucky to be kind of be with Limerick at the end of the first quarter. Limerick had hit a few wides. Clare hadn't really settled. And also Clare got away with a couple of goal chances for Limerick. One of them should definitely have been passed by Galan, where he had drawn two men across and should have just popped the ball across. I think it was when Conor Cleary blocked with his boot. If you remember that one, like that had to be given as a pass. And it was almost a certain goal then. But anyway, Clare kind of hung in there. And I thought Duggan kind of helped to bring them back into it, winning some of those long poke outs where you can just go long down on top of him. So, yeah, I thought he wouldn't be the guy I'd be dropping, let's say. You know what I mean? He's worth his place for the next day. But, yeah, definitely, like, you're looking at Ian Galvin, who's quite experienced at this level. Like, he's been starting the team since 2018. And to not use him at that stage and kind of go with... Shane Meehan is, in one way, still a bit of a rookie element about him, you know. And Aaron Shanahan, as we know, is a bit hot and cold. I just thought it was a strange substitution there. And we probably needed legs in the middle third. It was a really warm day in Ennis. Wasn't a puff of breeze. And Limerick got that energy there, especially with Adam English coming in there. And Clare, you know, I just thought maybe 55, 60 minutes, like, especially when the first goal went in, slow things down, get your substitution, get some fresh legs on at midfield, calm things a bit. But I think we kind of went along with the whole frenzy of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Kieran, get you in here just to close with Limerick. I mean, Limerick do win by 3 points, but I suppose that open 53 minutes was probably tough viewing from video analysis for John Kelly and Paul Kinnerk. I suppose you take David Reedy, Dan Morrissey, Gerald Hegarty and Nicky Quaid out of it here. There was an awful lot of matchups here, not really kind of proving fruitful for Limerick. But I suppose the discipline element here in that opening period, Kieran, was definitely a focal point. And credit to Colm Lyons. I thought he was consistent in his officiating, particularly on the tackle, and Limerick on the wrong side of that, particularly in that opening period. So a massive scope for improvement heading into this Tipperary game.
There'll be more negatives than positives come out after the game this week. Obviously, the closing of the game is a big positive in the scoreline, but I suppose how they reacted, but it should never have been at that point, you know what I mean? And Limerick had themselves to blame. So many wides in the first half, you know, discipline giving away a freeze, and like Abe McCarthy's in top form in the freeze, like, and he punished Limerick every time. There'd be a lot of work on, there'd be a lot of improvements to make, which I suppose, you know, in week one is expected, and it's a good thing that you have things that you can improve on. I think the form of certain players come into question. I think, you know, named there, you know, Tom Morrissey and Seamus Flanagan, and, you know, I suppose, look, it's a game against Tipperary, the old four coming this weekend, like, does he drop them and try and motivate him by getting him a kick in the hole, or does he, you know, does he keep persevering with them and try? I know Tom Morrissey, because we've seen this in the past, like where he might have a poor game or two and he can shoot back into life again, especially when there's big games. And, you know, I don't think he'll make any drastic decisions yet. Like it was only one game, but it is something you will be looking at, is the form of certain players like that. And look, there's huge improvements to be made. You'd be hoping, like, I suppose Kylie touched on after the game, a lot of guys went into that game with very little hurling done over the league period. And I suppose, you know, that game would stand to them. And, you know, what better test than Tipperary coming to the Gaelic on Sunday to test out any maybe improvements they've made during the week. And, you know, that'll be a ding-dong battle as well. But, you know, look, I said the panic button won't be pressed yet, but definitely a lot to be working on there this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Rory, just to get you in here to close with Clare. I thought there was an awful lot to like about this Clare performance for the first 53 minutes, but particularly the attacking movement of the likes of the Shane O'Donnells, Aidan McCarthy's, the Mark Rogers as well. I thought that substitute as well may have swung the balance a little bit to Limerick. But I mean, an awful lot of good attacking moments, plenty of goal scoring opportunities as well here, Rory. So look, I suppose video analysis for Brian Lohan and management can't be all bad heading into this Cork game this weekend.
No, in the first half, you can argue Clare produced 4 goal chances, like 2 missed that were really good chances. And it did come back to bite them in the end, you know, because Limerick were going to have that, you know, they were going to have that spell of dominance where, and even when Clare were going up 7-8 points, you just still felt like that a goal for Limerick and they're right back in. Two goals in 2 minutes, and like the amount of work it took to get 6 points in that second half, you know, to get wiped out almost instantly. But yeah, as you mentioned there, Aidan McCarthy, Shane O'Donnell, I just felt sometimes like that we weren't using them enough as well. Like straight after the goal, Cathal Malone has a ball midfield and it's 2-on-2 inside, 40 yards of space in front. And it was a perfect time to maybe let another one straight in again after, you know, a goal just been scored 30 seconds earlier, and Malone took the wrong option, went for a long range point, drifted wide. And it's just things like that. I think sometimes when you have the momentum, and Limerick are good to do that, it's just, you know, take the game by the scruff of the neck and go for the jugular. Kilkenny have done it over the years. It's something Clare need to learn to do, because they, even the league final, they just leave teams in it. And I remember, I think it was a round robin 2 years ago where Clare played a very poor Tipperary team at the time in Thurles, Cork as well. And Clare were up maybe 10 points in both games, but yet, like, there were still both games were coming down to like 3-4 points by the end of it. Like, they just kind of put teams away, and it's something they're going to have to learn to do. And it's just, I think it's those moments when you get a goal and the game is there to be won, they just seem to like make maybe bad decisions at those times. But it, look, as you said, there's a, like, they did a lot right. The pressure they put in Limerick, like, forced the amount of ball John Connan was sweeping up in the first half, because Limerick were striking delivery from further back than they normally would due to pressure. Limerick usually try to work it up to, you know, midfield, far 65, and then they're playing their diagonal ball. Hegarty, brilliant for, but they were striking it from way further back due to the pressure, which allowed Clare to mop up ball time and time again. And then we'd never really seen this from before, kind of the lazy hurley left in. Like, there was so many identical frees where just the Clare man running past and just, you know, and it must have really frustrated Kinnurk and Kiley just to see that hurley left in, you know, especially when a player was under pressure coming out with the ball and to give away the cheap free. But it was something they did rectify. Look, I suppose this is do or die now at the weekend. I know we'll go on to it in a few minutes, but it's a massive game now for both Clare and Cork, but Clare in particular, because, you know, it is Cork's home game. Clare have to go down now and win an away game to stay in this championship. And Sunday has just taken on a whole new level.
Lads, we'll quickly move on to Walsh Park. Watford finally delivered a performance in Munster. Beat someone other than Tip. Wonderful performance here, Kieran, for Watford. And really does bring this Munster Senior Hurling Championship to life, doesn't it?
Jesus, you little fate. How would we question the main man? But to be fair, credit where it's due, like, did it deliver? You know, I suppose he was interviewed a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, judges in the championship. And look, while it's only one game, there's still a lot more hurling to go. They were really impressive. You know, Watford really, really impressive. And I think it's probably the first time this year we've seen a, like, majority of that main team back. You know, I suppose, and no better like than Jamie Barron. You know, he's 100 game for Waterford, and, you know, he was incredible in midfield. You know, getting that early goal really put the pressure on Cork. And, you know, while I suppose Desi Hutchinson, great to see him back in, you know, closer to goal where he should be. Like, only scored 1 point from play. He had 10 points overall, but only one from play. So there's still plenty of scope for improvement with him there in the forwards. And, you know, I think Mikey Kiley is a big target man for him in there. Like, he's a, you know, great in the air and, you know, using the to great benefit for them, like, going in. And, you know, Stephen Bennett scoring 1-3. And, you know, I look at Cork, I suppose, did put a little bit of a challenge yet on. And I think, fair to Alan Connolly, he was taking the fight on his own at times, but I don't think there's any question on the result. I suppose the biggest question for Waterford is, was, can they build on it? The week off will obviously serve them well. You know, they put everything into that game, and, you know, they'll have a week to get ready for Tipperary. And look, they'll have a tough finish. They'll have their two home games, you know, in the first two games, and then it's a finish off away from home and two games in the trot. So time will tell how good they really are. But look, is it a case that Waterford were really good or Cork are really bad? I suppose maybe some of them questions will be answered this weekend when Cork play Clare, and we get probably a litmus test of where they are. But a really good performance from Waterford. Look, at the Waterford public deserve it. Like, you know, they've a great hurling county, produced some savage players over the years. And, you know, this team is not a young team by any means, but it's a team that's been around for a couple of years now. And, you know, there's some great hurlers there. And it wasn't a true reflection of Waterford hurling the last couple of years, you know, especially where they were struggling no ends up. So great to see them, you know, put in a big performance, and I suppose it meant a lot. And yeah, look, time will tell how good they are, I think.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between this year and last year was the players were played in their best positions, you know. Last year was a lot of experimenting going on with, you know, Desi Hutchinson out the field, and like a system there against Clare and Thurles where they seemed to, you know, kind of play each line, like the full forward line and playing the half forward line position and so on and so on. So you ended up trying to crowd out midfield. It didn't work for them. Like Waterford are at their best when they have a bit of space and they're running with pace, as you, like runners like Jamie Barron, Caelum Lyons. And when they got that game going, you know, especially in the first half, this 100 miles an hour, and Cork couldn't cope with the runners coming through the middle. And it was like, we did flag this last week at Waterford 9-4, like it was at home with the players they had back. It just, you know, it looked like a real ambush was ready. And if they were going to win the game, I think that was this was the one. Still, I'd agree with Kieran, like they really have to, I think for Waterford to go through, they have to win their next game as well against Tipperary. Because if they lose that, then they're one win, one defeat, and they're coming up to Ennis and then up to Gaelic Grounds, like two hard places to go get results, and where Waterford traditionally have, you know, have been well beaten against those counties. And really, they'd want two wins on the board before they get that far, I think. But you have to credit, like, it was a throwback to, you know, the Waterford team of 2 or 3 years ago, the team that won the National League and had contested an All-Ireland final. There was a real confidence about them. And I think they knew themselves, looking at Cork, that they, you know, they had every chance of beating them. And that the fact that they were being written off added further fuel. But now, you know, in one way, like, kind of the genie's out of the lamp now, or the cat's out of the bag, whatever, in terms of, like, people know what to expect from them. People can look at that performance, try and counter it. The likes of Kinnark, Liam Cahill will be watching that performance very closely. Whereas, I suppose, Cork, the fact that Waterford didn't have these players during the league, had nothing really to judge them off, and it's going to be a lot tougher for them, I think, to get the second win.
The only thing, Roy, if they did beat Tipperary, Jesse Gander would be up, wouldn't it? Like, the confidence would be, levels would be starting to rise, and,
yeah,
you know, wouldn't Davey love nothing more than go up to Ennis and turn over Clare, especially, you know, Lohan as well, with a bit of confidence, you know, they could improve more. And, you know, that game against Tipperary, I can't see much in the two teams either. So, like, if they can come out there with a win, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, they still will be a hard team to beat. You know, even if you are playing at home against them, they still will bring a tough game to you.
And I think as well, just like Clare and Cork, I think is the defining game for both teams. I think that Tip Waterford game is the defining for each of them. Whoever comes out of that one with the win is in with a great chance, a really good chance. So yeah, there's still a lot of pressure on them, and I know, like, you could call it Davey, I don't know, would you even call it over celebrating? I think it was over relief. Because I think his reputation was on the line here as well.
He was 17 minutes away from P45. There's no doubt about it.
So I think it was more personal relief, more so than anything else. And I suppose he had, all year he had been saying, as Kieran said, judges and championship. So if they had gone out and lost that game, he had basically said judges on this performance. And yet he got things right, in fairness. And Waterford are there with a win on the board. The first win over Cork in the round robin. And yeah, there'll be home game coming next as well. It does work well for them, having two home games in a row. Gives them a chance to have a real, you know, two wins could easily get you out of the group if results go your way elsewhere as well. It sets them up nicely and puts Cork and Clare in this position where it looks more or less like a knockout match down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Sunday.
Kieran, can I get you in here in terms of Cork? This time last year, we were talking about Cork in the same sort of vein, you know, behind the eight ball, losing their opening game. And I mean, for this one, I think Davey Fitz breathed spook, Pat Ryan, the management, the man-to-man approach, particularly likes of Irla Daly and Patrick Horgan, clearly rattled Cork early here. And is it a case of Cork not learning their lessons from last season?
Based on that game, you'd have to say Cork have regressed in the year. They're doing the same thing as last year. They're playing the same players. There's been huge calls from outside, I suppose, outside of the management team in Cork, any, you know, pundits and, I suppose, fans and Cork people, calling for, you know, a bit of trust in this youth. You know, they've produced many All-Ireland wins in the last couple of years. There's some cracking players there. Like, even last year, Ger Cunningham was a standout performer in a 2020 team. And, like, he hasn't played at all this year, I don't think, is he, for the seniors? And, yeah, I just don't think they're no better off this year than they were, you know, starting into the season last year. Okay, they've named their team tonight and there's six changes. Still holding on to Harnedy and Horgan inside. You know, Brian Hayes comes in instead of Lehan. Cahalan gets dropped for Owen Downey. So while there is some changes, I still think more is needed. Like, you know, just throw the shackles off. And I think, to be fair to Alan Connolly, I mentioned earlier, like, I think he was really taking the fight to Waterford. And, you know, I think if you had a full forward line of of Robbie O'Flynn, Alan Connolly, and Brian Hayes. Like, to be plenty of defenders worried about, you know, their job on the day, like, because they're, you know, such powerful, you know, players, I suppose, in speed. But I think we mentioned last week, Cork, if they don't get it their way, Cork want to run at you, they want to, you know, run a pace, but you hit them physically and they don't like it. And I think it's been proven over the last few years. And I think Pat Ryan is however much pressure Lowen is on them this week, I think Pat Ryan is under, you know, significantly more pressure. Like, last year wasn't good, I suppose. They were very close to being in the top three, but I think this is probably a knockout game. We're very close to it, and you know, there's huge pressure. And I think, like, if Cork don't deliver this week, I probably think that's the end of the road for Pat Ryan. Like, you'd have to say, over the 2 years, has he brought them on any further? I don't think so. I think there's huge, you know, he's so much of a selection of players, especially forwards, to choose from. I suppose you could make a case for any of them. But, you know, like last week, when you were playing with three or six forwards or over 31 or two, whatever it may be, you know, it's a tough round robin campaign. It's week on week, and, you know, fresh legs are needed. And they might have made changes as the weeks went on, but I just, for me, nothing has changed from last year, and they're still the same old Cork. And I think huge pressure on this weekend, and personally, I can't see him getting a win over Clare. Maybe home advantage might stand to them, but I think it's a tough week in Pat Ryan, and if they don't win, where do they go from here?
Yeah, Rory, can I get you in here in terms of Cork? I suppose this discipline kind of reared its head here in Cork as well. There was a black card. Kieran Joyce, obviously, the red card for Damien Callaghan as well. Some people might say a little bit controversial, but again, 1-10 from indiscipline here. I mean, Clare have plenty of evidence here how to basically approach this Cork defence.
Yeah, that's the spine of your full back line. Your full back, centre back, both off the pitch. At one stage, both of them, the black card overlapped with the red, and they're both off the pitch at the same time. Just briefly, but still, like, it's worrying. If this team that was named tonight starts, like, you're straight away, like, they've dropped Damien Cahalan, who they had kind of put their faith in from the start of the league at full back. And Niall O'Leary is back in, and they've gone with a huge half back line of Tim O'Mahony, Kieran Joyce, Robert Downey, very imposing half back line. You'd wonder, even just looking, if that is the team, is their tactic to push right up in the Clare puck out and force Quilligan, we presume, would be in, Quilligan to go along down on top of the half back line. If that was the case, I'd be bringing Shannon Donnell out to the half hour line and give you another ball winner there to try and also his pace and legs and all that would trouble some of that half back line. Like to get forward and, you know, don't like to be turned. And I think that would be a great avenue for Clare to maybe get at them. But I always think, like, Cork forwards, if the game opens, they're incredibly dangerous. And we saw even against Limerick in the Gaelic grounds, very quickly they put up a score when it looked like they were out of it. Up in Ennis, they had their moments last year. Again, Clare were up 8 points in that game in Ennis, couldn't put them away. Cork came thundering back into it because they have forwards that can hurt you. Like, looking there as well, like, you've Alan Connolly, I presume Cleary will pick him up, but still, like, Brian Hayes has shown he can do damage, especially in the league. Patrick Horgan on his day, you know, top operator. And then Shane Barrett has pace as well. Like, there's just, and even off the bench there, like, you've Kingston, Robbie O'Flynn to come in there, especially two guys. Tommy O'Connell, who were surprised, isn't named to start because he was probably in the league one of the more consistent players. Mark Coleman as well. Like, so, yeah, I'd be very wary of them. At the same time, I think if Clare go out and play their best, I think we just, you know, I think we're a better team than Cork, but that doesn't mean you know, especially away from home, down in Parkyqueeve, doesn't give you a right to win. And if the game opens up and if Clare backline ends up out of shape like it did last week, there's no better team to hurt than Cork. Like, that Cork forward line will do damage. So, yeah, I think there's a lot for Clare to be worried about there. But at the same time, I think Clare needs to kind of just get one or two matchups right and then worry about their own performance and deliver a 70-minute performance at their end.
Guys, can we get calls here on these Munster Senior Hurling Championship games? I suppose Cork and Clare first and then Limerick tip second. I suppose, Kieran, do you want to kick off here?
Yeah, Cork and Clare. I'm going to go for Clare. I think, you know, while last week would be bitterly disappointing for them and how it finished, there was a lot of positives too. It's been a good year so far. You know, obviously winning the league, getting silverware, and I suppose getting to see a lot of young players. I probably would like to see a lot more of them be given a chance, definitely, to come on. Just the only worry would be, like, if the league hoodoo of what just happened, like the likes of Waters over the last few years, doesn't happen to Clare. You know, winning the league is a negative. It's been talked about over the last couple of years. I don't think it is, though. I think, you know, Clare have been impressive, and it's not just this year. Like, they've been building step by step for the last probably, you know, 3 years, probably at least. They don't become a bad team overnight. They got a lot of things right last week. And I suppose I imagine Tony Kelly will start the weekend as well. Will be, you know, a huge plus for them, you know, coming to this game. In regards to Cork, like we just said earlier, like Cork are Cork and have been for the last few years. Obviously making a few changes. Look, it's a home game for Cork. I'm not sure what's Clare's record like in Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
We've only had one round robin there and lost by 2 or 3 points. It was 2018, the first year of it, I think, or second year, first year round robin, I think, because yeah. We played them in Thurles the last time. I don't know, it was Ed Sheeran or someone playing there, the usual, you know. But we've only actually gone down there once. Now, against other teams, it was twice during COVID. We played Waterford down there, got beaten, and played Tip down there in All-Ireland quarterfinal once, and were beaten as well. So you could say 0 out of 3, but this is like, that wasn't the present team, so.
Yeah, I'm sure Cork will flood it. Like, you know, I'm sure Cork will bring a huge crowd. The pressure is on, and it will be an advantage to them. But for me, I think, look, this Clare team are a couple of years ahead of what Cork are. Cork have a lot of repair work to do in that team, I think. And, you know, Pat Ryan will be under severe pressure. But for me, I think it's Clare. I think Clare will win 5 or 6 points.
Rory?
Yeah, I think Clare should win. But as we know, it is Munster Championship. As we saw last week, games can swing very quickly. And Cork, as I said, have the potential up front. But also, there is the potential at the back for Clare too. Serious damage there with the Cork defence. They're a very shaky defence. There's no real position apart from Kieran Joyce is the only, I think, nailed down player out of the six. Like, Sean O'Donoghue as well, arguably. The other four, like, are looking over their shoulder all the time, especially Mark Coleman on the bench there now. Even Tommy O'Connell can slot in. Jamie Cahillane could easily be back in for the next match if this doesn't go well. So there's all, yeah, it's Clare definitely have the more settled backline. I think that is important. Look, I think Clare should win the game, but I think it'll be a bit tighter than Kieran suggested. I'm thinking it'll be a one-score game, maybe. Just be glad to get out of there with a one-point win, to be honest. So I'll go with the bare minimum.
Guys, can we look at the Limerick Tipperary match as well at 4 p.m. in TUS Gaelic grounds? I know Tipperary have named their side tonight. Again, some of the more experienced players being held back in reserve, I suppose. Kieran, get your thoughts on the Tipper selection. Maybe get a prediction from you on the game.
I suppose there's been no major surprise. I think Noel McGrath was such a huge player from last year at centre forward, and we've seen him very little this year in the league. And obviously, he's on the bench. Two McGraths and Bonner on the bench, Dan McCormack. They're kind of going with youth a bit. Brian O'Mara, centre back, Ford, and O'Connor in the half forward line. Look, a Tipper coming in fresh, which is an advantage. But sometimes that game, if you get a game in the team, it stands to the team. You know, like Limerick would have got a good tough test last week against Clare. You know, as we mentioned earlier, like, an awful lot of negatives in that game, but plenty to work on during the week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of lads will be getting the talk. The sports psychologist or Kylie having words with them during the week over performance levels. And, you know, I expect a big increase there. I think for me, it's probably Limerick's bench that would be the difference here. I look at the Tipperary bench and I look at there is, you know, obviously the older guys there who bring a vast amount of experience, but I think just looking at last week, the likes of Adam English coming on, it was great to see Aidan O'Connor coming on as well, getting a taste of the championship. Donoghue Dolly, who carried on, you know, his league form, like bringing these guys on fresh and making a difference, I think. And, you know, if the game is tight coming into that 55, 60 minute mark, you know, bringing these guys in makes a huge difference. And I'm going to give it to Limerick at home as well. I think it was mentioned last week that Limerick will want to get business done and dust as quick as they can. They don't want to be like last year, you know, waiting for the last game to try and get through. We have a great start to go 2 from 2 against our two lovely neighbours. But I think for me, Limerick, I don't think there's going to be a whole pile in it. I think Tipper are going to come with a big game. They did last year and it ended up a draw last year. So I think maybe Limerick by 2 or 3, all going well, but I think it will be a Limerick win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kieran, a Limerick win, but I'm thinking we're looking at 8-9 points. I just look at that this Tipperary team, especially, again, we're presuming this is a starting team, but I'm looking at the bench and I see experience there, but I'm just wondering where the energy is going to come from there. Because, like, you've Bonnermar, Dan McCormack, John McGrath, Noel McGrath. If obviously they can bring experience and a cool head and everything, but what I thought made the difference for Limerick, the last day was just kind of this ball of energy coming off the bench with Boylan brought it, and English brought it, Donoghue Dolig, and yeah, I'm just a bit underwhelmed by the Tipperary starting team, to be honest. Obviously, there is potential there. Jake Morris on his day is a match winner. Jason Ford can be hot and cold. When he's hot, he's very dangerous. Rod O'Connor has been consistent. Mark Keogh, I like. He did cause Limerick big problems 2 years ago in the Gaelic grounds, but just there's a lot of, there's still a lot of experimentation going on. Connor Bowe back at wing back. Michael Breen, who was playing a lot of the league in the full back line, is now back out half back line. There's just a lot of questions about it. I actually think Liam Cahill has taken a punt with this team, to be honest. I'd say they were very worried after the Port Leash game. You know, I think it's a bit of a stab in the dark. Sometimes they can work out for you, but against Limerick, who are settled, know what they're doing, and seem to find, you know, their rhythm in the last 15 minutes, I just think they're going to come up short. And this occasion, I think it could be well short.
I think as well, just note as well, Colin Barrett's not back in, you know, which would be a huge loss as well. You know, be a huge pressure on the full back line.
Yeah, I'd be with you guys. I think Limerick got a bit of a reality check, even though winning last week, performance levels were pretty short. But we've seen last week, like, Limerick being a little bit ring rusty, how the effect was in the first 50 minutes. Like, if Tipperary don't hit the ground running here, I think Limerick could run at a little bit of a score here. So, look, I think Tip here may need to kind of really protect the houses here early doors. I think Limerick by 4 or 5 points. And I think, yeah, I would go with Clare as well. I think there's too much for this Clare side to lose on this. I think there's massive pressure on this Cork team, given the Shawnee McGrath Irish Examiner piece. You know, it's very much stick or twist in terms of young versus the experienced players here. You just wonder with the Cork supporter mindset, if Clare were to really start this game on with a house on fire, which more likely will happen. So I think Clare here by maybe 3 or 4. I suppose, guys, look quickly, the Leinster and Championship, a 32-point win for Kilkenny, 11-point win for Galway, so we won't really delve into these too much. But I suppose, Kieran, you're at Chadwicks Park, Wexford, to see Wexford in Dublin. And I suppose it was going so well for Wexford for so long. But, I mean, injury time-wise, 2 sucker punch goals here, a draw. I suppose, what's reaction down in Wexford on that result?
I think it shows in the game of hurling that you can never have, there's never enough of a lead in hurling. It can all change very quick. I think look at Clare and look at Wexford last weekend. The first half, there wasn't a whole lot between the two teams. I think it was a nervous kind of a game. And there was an awful lot of build-up in the media during the week about this game, that the winner takes third. And I think it showed in the game. It was a game that didn't bring much intensity. And looking back at it, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, there was no real championship vibe off it. I sense even the kind of crowd were nervous. Like, it was a big game for both teams. Like, obviously, Wexford were, you know, one game away from being demoted to Joe McDonagh last year. And while they've had a good start to the season, like, this is different gravy now. This time of year is championship, and you know what's happened in the league now is long distant memory. And first half, as I said, there wasn't a whole pile between teams, and I think Wexford were definitely the better team in the second half. Pull away and maybe giving away a lot of silly frees, let Dublin back in. Like, when you have a free taker like Donald Burke, you know, he's going to punish you. And definitely, you know, fourth quarter stepped it up, getting the gap out to 5 points, you know, you're in injury time. I think it was even mentioned on the Southeast Radio, Tom Dempsey was doing coverage that, like, there was no way back for Dublin. This was it. You know, there was too much in it. But, see, lo and behold, what happened afterwards shows that there was a way back. Sutcliffe goal. Definitely poor defending on Wexford's point of view. Wexford went back up the field and scored a point through Kyle Dunbar. And you think that would be, you know, a good response to the goal, but straight back down. I think Wexford, in their heads, thought, you know, it's over. Probably didn't reset properly, you know, and I suppose the ball broke so well to Keane Sullivan, and he scored his cracking goal into the corner, and that was it, time up. I suppose in hindsight, you look back and think that maybe, you know, I suppose a lot of these, okay, there is a lot of older guys in the team, but there is a lot of youth there as well, and that you'd hope this would be a lesson going forward. And as the saying goes, it's not over till the fat lady sings, and that was, you know, and suddenly that was the case. But I suppose it did feel like a loss at the end of the game, you know, having been 5 points up. But, you know, they travelled to Corrigan Park this Saturday and, you know, I suppose try and bounce back. And I think for Leinster, it probably makes it a little bit more interesting, the result, because whoever had won that game probably was going to be strong favourites to be one of the top three. But I think it probably keeps a little bit of interest for everyone in Leinster now at the minute, because it'll probably go to the final day. It's very hard to see either team get a result off Galway or Kilkenny on form. But look, on the day, who knows? I suppose, look, there's some tough tests going for both teams. And I suppose, look, at the end of the point, factor come the end of it.
Yeah, Rory, get you in here. I mean, for Wexford, it's 6 years now since they've beaten Dublin in Championship. And I mean, if you look at this Dublin performance, they had only 7 points on the board after 37 minutes. You take away the two goals, it's 9 points from play. It's masking maybe attacking issues, but you have to credit the resiliency and determination. I know the direct route was used Crummy to go inside, but I mean, for Micheál Donoghue, Franny Ford and the management, at least they saw determination and resilience of a team that didn't give up the ghost.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Going into injury time, 6 points down away from home and to come out of it. Excuse me. Like, that's a real get out of jail for Dublin there. And it's funny now, looking at the games to come, Dublin have traditionally been stronger against Galway and Wexford have traditionally been stronger against Kilkenny. So it's kind of hard to call. I just think Wexford might be that bit more competitive against both of them this year than Dublin. Like, Dublin are more fortunate to get away with this. And Wexford did, we spoke on end about if you keep Burke quiet, you're halfway there. And Wexford did that, like, no score from play. But yet then you've Sutcliffe popping up at 1-2 and Keenan Sullivan, albeit kind of last book of the game, but popping up with 1-2 as well. And so that's, you know, those two really bail Dublin out. Like, it's 2-4 from play from the two of them. Yeah, I think just going forward, I'd still give a slight edge to Wexford going through. But as Kieran said, it does make it a lot more interesting now, because each game that both these counties play, because score difference make them into it as well. You know, it's going to make it very interesting. They kind of take like Antrim and Carlow for granted as well. And probably means as well, like, traditionally, if you had won that game, you'd give a chance, you'd get to blood some of the guys we saw during the league, give them some Leinster Championship experience. But the fact it was a draw and it may come down to score difference, you're going to see, I think, full strength teams now in every single match until, you know, until it draws to a conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely. No, great points there, guys. Guys, in terms of the games this weekend, I mean, the blockbuster game is in Pearse Stadium, Salt Hill. Galway versus Kilkenny, I suppose. To be fair to Kilkenny, they learned absolutely nothing last weekend. 32-point drubbing against poor Antrim. And I mean, for Galway, an 11-point win. But there was a third-quarter lull here, Kieran, which, speaking to the locals here in Galway tonight before the podcast, was pretty alarming performance in that third quarter. Carlow getting it down to 4 points, having to call on Dyson Connor Whelan to really kind of get them back on track. So, I mean, for both teams here, Galway and Kilkenny, do you feel that there may be a bit of kind of chess match going on here in terms of lineups?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I watched that Galway Carlow game midweek, and I think there was probably a bit of a laboured performance from Galway. But like, without disrespecting Carlow or Antrim, like teams like Wexford or Kilkenny and Galway, they're allowed to have performances like this in Leinster, like, you know, because they're still confident enough they're going to get through the games. They weren't full team out, like Conor Whelan started on the bench. Conor Cooney was really impressive. Yeah, the problem with Conor Cooney is he might go to Leinster and, you know, and mightn't score from play at all. You know, he scored 1-5 last week. You know, Gavin Lee had a good game midfield, scoring 1-2. But that point where Carlow had it back down to 4 points, 52nd, third minute, you know, Conor Whelan was brought onto the field. Like, he did make a huge difference. Galway rattled off 1-7 in that last quarter, and I suppose as Carlow didn't have the legs or the response to it. Look, I suppose for Carlow, it'll be, you know, I suppose a spirited performance for them going up against one of the teams who will be in the top four in the betting for the All-Ireland this year. And, you know, I suppose from where they were this time last year, I suppose they'll be happy with the performance. At least they'll have bigger games, I suppose, to come. I suppose no different than this weekend. You know, they're at home to Dublin, and, you know, I suppose that'll be something they might, you know, try and target. Yeah, Galway, I suppose, look, they did what they had to do. I think with the eye on this game this weekend, over the years, there's probably been an element of shadow boxing in this game. But I think Kilkenny are going to be forced to lay on a different deck, because the word this evening is Owen Coley is going to be out for 6 weeks with an ankle injury. Mullen went off early in the game with a muscle injury. There's been no word on that, but very hard to imagine he'd be back within, you know, a week. Owen Murphy also staying off at halftime. So, like, even Cody will be a huge loss. And for me, you know, Galway at home, I think you have to say advantage Galway this weekend. But I suppose it's only one step in the story in Leinster, really, because these two teams will be fairly confident they'll meet each other again later on in the Leinster final.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Galway just based on the fact of Kilkenny are going to have to nurse a couple of injuries after that game. The last day, like, they're probably not going to risk. And I think winning Leinster means a lot to Kilkenny, and they'll know which game that to beat Galway in will be, albeit if they get to Leinster final, Galway, that because I'm pretty sure Kilkenny will be there. That's the one, really. And in the past, they have gone up to Salt Hill last and reversed the result in Croke Park a couple of weeks later. Like, so I don't think they obviously with Kilkenny, you're always going to get a level of performance, you know, that they will fight for everything. But at the same time, you know, Ling knows like that if they can kind of, you know, get through this game with a big performance, not get badly beat or whatever, if that's the case, and then, you know, keep their powder dry for the Leinster final. That's why I kind of think Galway, I think, need to win this more home crowd, still have to build confidence, and beating Kilkenny does give you confidence, like, if you can manage it. I think, so that's barely, I'm just giving them a tentative nod based on the fact that we know Kilkenny are going to be down a couple of players, and I think Galway really need to win this one, whereas Kilkenny, traditionally, they've gone up there look for a performance rather than having to win the match, if you know what I mean.
And the pressure is on Sheffield this weekend, isn't it? You know, like, so... I think nothing other than a win to keep to keep the pressure off his back, you know, to later in the season. But yeah, I suppose it's all laid up for me.
Yeah, I think speaking to locals here, it's been an underwhelming start to the season for Galway. I mean, that Limerick, not even semi-final, but the last round robin game was tailor made. Statement of intent never happened, so this is the next one. So if they were to win this one, then yeah, definitely, I think County will be completely on board with the scene. But it's these lulls from Galway. It's going to be an interesting watch. I'd just give the hesitant bet to Galway, but would not be all surprised if Kilkenny did tear up the form book, particularly with some players likes of Owen Wall, like the debut last weekend. I know it's against Antrim 2-2, but there's guys here champing at the bit here for Kilkenny who might actually rip up the script. But I'd give the slight edge to Galway. Guys, do you see any shocks here in the other two games? I mean, Carlow entertained Dublin in it, watch Cullen Park, and then obviously Wexford travel up to Corrigan Park to face an Antrim side that were, like, I mean, Darren Gleeson basically said his best, they gave up after 20 minutes here. Kieran, can I get maybe predictions from you on these two fixtures?
Yeah, I watched the Kenny Antrim game, and it's probably the worst performance I've seen from Antrim in years. Just everything, like the puck outs wasn't working, like they went short 20 odd times with no success, getting turned over on short puckouts. It just didn't work. But I do think there's a certain element of keeping the powder dry for this weekend. I think this will be one of the games they'll be targeting, is the Wexford at home. And for me, I think they will come with a gallant effort. I can't see them beating Wexford, but I think this is one of the games they're going to target in this round robin. They also have Galway and Carlow at home. Obviously, that last game against Carlow is going to be their All-Ireland final, but I think this will be one of the games they're going to target. I think Wexford will definitely won't underestimate them anyway, because I suppose it's the history of Corrigan Park, and some teams have fallen there, and it's a hard place to go. But for me, I think it's a Wexford win. Like, with score difference now becoming a factor, you know, is it something management will be, I suppose, pressurizing players to, you know, have it in the back of the head at all times, that, you know, let's say there's an easy point there and there's a half chance of a goal. Do you push for the goal? You know, possibly do. But I think for me, like, this game aside, look, Antrim have had a very poor league, probably the worst league they've had in a few years. Look, I know they've had probably a lot of players didn't come in early on and they're now back in, but you have to expect a certain cohesion. Problems in cohesion with, you know, players, eight players, whatever it is, just coming back into a team before a championship, like not having the league campaign together, it can't be all rosy. And yeah, I think Wexford for me, and then in the other game, Carlow Dublin. Look, I think Carlow again. Look, they have put in some very good performances this year. The league, I suppose they will be happy with the performance last week. You know, they did have it down to 4 points against Galway at some stage. They will target. This is one of the games they will target. They're Dublin at home. Look, Dublin got out of jail to a certain extent last Sunday, and they'll be hoping to build on that, and this will be one of the games they will see that they'll have to win. Donal Burke is not scoring from play. They need to get him back scoring. You know, like, he was one of their main, the talisman last year. Donal Burke, they need to get Donal Burke back scoring in the team sheet. He actually went off in the first half. He broke his nose, so it's probably an amazing that he even made it back onto the field to finish out the game. But look, he is coming back from injury, and I'm sure he will impress week on week, but yeah, you'd have to say Dublin in that game as well. Although I do think Carrie would bring a big performance to them.
Yeah, Rory, predictions on those two games?
I think Wexford will have too much for Antrim. If Wexford were down a couple of players, you know, you give Antrim a chance, but Lee Chin and Rory O'Connor kind of both in form last week. Antrim coming from the doldrums. Obviously, they're going to put up, they have to improve, put up a better performance, but I think it's going to just, I can't say anything but a Wexford win there. Other games more interesting. Last year, usually when the Joe McDonough team meets the third place team from Munster or Leinster, it's pretty one-sided. But remember last year, Carlow really shoved it up to Dublin. And it wasn't until the 9 minutes where Dublin finally, you know, pulled clear of them. So Carlow will know that they can, you know, potentially win this game. And looking at it, they, like Dublin have the better team. But at the same time, home crowd, get a good start, get a couple of goals in there, rattle Dublin. And I think Carlow would be possibly a bit like what Kieran said about, you know, Antrim having an eye on Wexford coming, especially down in Nolan Park last week, that they were looking at the next fixture in one way. I think Carlow were hoping to go up to Galway, maybe, you know, put up a decent performance, have something to bring down for the home game, because they will see this, you know, as a chance to upset, you know, one of the bigger counties in Leinster. So that's the one upset. I'm going to maybe go with that one. Like, I'm going to say something like 4 to 6 points to Dublin, like no more. That they're my two there. So yeah, Wexford, I think, to win comfortably, and Dublin maybe to struggle for a bit and just maybe pull clear 4 or 6 points near the end.
Yeah, great. I think I agree with you there, Rory, on those predictions. Guys, quickly on the Joe McDonagh Cup. Round one threw up some fascinating results here. I suppose, Rory, looking at it from last weekend, what result really stood out for you?
The Kerry one, definitely. Westmeath, we've been praising them in a way, and I think they were praising themselves a bit too much, I'd say, because they've been very competitive in the league, especially like they ran Limerick right down to the end of it, and Tipperary as well down in Thurles, and in got the win over Antrim too, which was probably the game they had targeted to win. It must have been very kind of happy that they're in a really good place going in. And then Kerry to come up to Westmeath, up to Mullingar, and turn them over, and turn not just 1 or 2 points, but a convincing win. Like, that was the big shock of all games last weekend, really. We had kind of predicted the Waterford ambush, but we didn't see this coming. And all credit to Kerry there. They definitely, deceived people during the league in a way, if they can come out with a performance like this when it mattered. And Carlow did something similar last year between league and Joe McDonagh. So it seems to be the way to go down in Joe McDonagh, is keep your powder dry for the real round robin. And it really throws cat amongst the pigeons, and it makes this fixture now, Westmeath and Offaly, a massive game coming up, because Laois beating Offaly wasn't such a surprise. I know they had a bit of fortune. They got goals just at the right time in it. Offaly, I think, are just a bit, like, they probably have too much of the younger lads in at the minute. Just the balance seems wrong. They're a year or two away, some of them, from, you know, being, I think anyway, senior hurlers, just maybe off the bench at the minute would be the best, you know, best use of these players. Because it seems to be, a lot of them kind of start maybe, I think, a bit a year too young. And that might be fixed now. I'm sure Johnny Kelly, he's a shrewd operator. And they're just happy, like, that the game comes thick and fast, and they win at the weekend. And suddenly, you know, a bit like we talked about Clare and Cork, whoever gets the win there, Offaly, Westmeath, whoever wins is right back in it. Whoever loses is in big trouble.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. What stood out for you in the first round of Joe McDonagh?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think, just looking at the results on Sunday, I suppose the two games shocked me, really. Kerry, definitely, because, you know, we had talked to Kerry on Kerry at length during the league, and I suppose how disappointed they've been. I don't think Shane Conway played either on Sunday, so it probably even highlights. Yeah, so, you know, Morris O'Connor scoring 110, you know, 10 of them from frees, and McAtee, obviously, whose name has been in the news for the last while, but he's moved to Ballyhill, not to Ballyhill, to Lochingales, scoring 4 points. You know, huge result for them. I suppose a great way to kickstart the campaign for them. Look at the other game. Like, I think Offaly were, for me, probably were favourites. Laois, I suppose, look, they are. And that probably was an exact mirror image of the game last year, where Laois were ahead and Offaly pounced late with goals to win it. And, you know, a huge start for Laois, who were probably timing their run. Like, they probably started that league maybe disappointed with some earlier rounds, but the last few rounds they've been really impressive. And that's a huge game for me. You know, obviously, two goals from Purcell to get the win. And, you know, they've brought in a couple of young guys. There's a Jer Quinlan who's on their 20s team as well, you know, scoring 3 points, so looks really good. And I think Laois set up, you know, they're playing Meath this weekend, so you'd expect them to have 4 points on the board after the weekend. I think that Offaly Westmeath game, like, there has to be a kickback from both teams. And I think on paper you're going to give it to Offaly, but, you know, I'm sure, like, Westmeath put in a few very good performances in that league against, you know, Limerick and Tipperary. You know, I think they might be a little bit shell shocked after the result last week. And I'm expecting a huge kickback from him. But I think whatever team loses that game, that's their Joe McDonagh ambitions shot for the year, I think. And it's a very similar game to Cork Clare, where it's kind of a winner takes all scenario at this stage. Mad to think two games into a league format that, you know, how important the win could be. But, you know, the games come quick and fast, and, you know, it's a tough campaign. Like, they have three games with a break week, and then two games to finish it off, and games don't get any easier. So getting points on the board early is, you know, for the likes of Leash, it's a good position to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, Rory, can we get a few predictions from you here? Meath entertain Leash. Obviously, yeah. We've talked here about Offaly Westmeath, and Kerry host Down, who had a good win against Meath in the first opening round weekend. Goals win the games, scoring 325 to 24 points win. I suppose we'll get your picks first, Rory.
Yeah, well, straight out, you have to go with Leash in the first game. And you could do a lot worse at 3 o'clock on a Saturday than find the stream for Offaly Westmeath, be it Clubber or, I don't know, TG Carr live streaming, because that's going to be a great game. Good to go at Offaly there with home advantage. I just think they probably have a bigger squad than Westmeath at the minute, like, especially with those 20s coming through. Just get the balance right between, you know, how many of them you have starting and coming in. And I think Johnny Kelly will get that right. So I'm going to go with Offaly maybe to bounce back there. And Kerry versus Down, this could be a cracker. Down and Kerry over the years in this have been pretty close when they've met. Again, Kerry must have massive momentum coming down from the win up Westmeath. So based on that, I'm going to go with Kerry. And home advantage. Down have a long way to travel, you know, from the Ards Peninsula all the way down to Austin Stack Park, you know. You'd have to go with Kerry that way.
Absolutely. Kieran, do you want to make a few predictions here?
You'd have to say Leash another away from home, but, you know, I suppose, as I said, they have been impressed in the last couple of games. Look, Meath without a manager there, a tough position they were left in, you know, so close to the championship starting. But Leash for me, I think Offaly, like, Offaly were actually in control of that Leash game early on, and you suppose Leash hit them hard at the end. Look, they're probably the huge disappointment, I imagine, there this week. I'm sure that was the target game from early on, but I do expect Offaly to kick back. I do expect Offaly to get a win, and I they're still not out of this. They will definitely be there, thereabouts, come the end of it. And I think there is. They have players who, you know, last year probably should have won it. They're after bringing Ashley Screeny like last week, scoring 8 points. You know, they're mixing the young and old. I'm sure they're bitterly disappointed with that game last week, and I think the league this year probably showed them that the performance they put in, that they're not a million miles off the top table. There's still a bit of a gap there, you know. So, like, would it be the worst case for them if they weren't to go up this year? Like, the worst thing for Offaly would be to get into this yo-yo effect where they're up and down. So, for me, if I was an Offaly fan, I'd rather maybe buy the time. If you had to give it one more year and get experience into the younger guys and get them up to stay up, that would be the way I'd look at it. But I do think they'll win this weekend. Kerry Down, look, Down have, I think there's been huge improvements in Down this year. Obviously, Tim Prenter scored 2-1 last week, and Dahi Sands, who seems to be always up there scoring, and scored 1-3. And I just think with the travel down, with the away game, and obviously that Kerry performance last week will really drive them on. Like, Kerry won that game from pillar to post. It wasn't a fluke win by any means. They led from the start and held off Westmeath. And I do think Kerry will have 4 points come Sunday evening as well. And probably will be a bit of shock to everyone based on their league performance. But I think as it shows, take league form at your peril, and you just don't know what's going on in camps. And maybe, you know, Kerry felt keeping the powder dry was the way forward this year. And, you know, I suppose time will tell.
Look, I'll go with Leash anyway. I thought very impressive ending to that game anyway. 2-13 from play. I mean, they went to Meath and did a job on Meath in the last round of the league. So, look, I expect no different here. Down and Kerry, I'm going to just predict a draw because I feel this Down team is pretty potent. This Kerry performance is brilliant, but, like, if you take the freeze out of this 12 points from 120, I mean, Shane Conway surely is coming back in here. I think Down are potent for a few goals as well. I wouldn't be all surprised if that's a draw, and I think this Westmeath performance last week as well, there was 3 or 4 goals squandered, 18 wides, they, you know, 12 frees. I mean, Joe Fortune and the management team are going to tighten up immensely on that. I think if Westmeath can hang in there into the final quarter, there is a bit of a performance issue here with this Offaly team, particularly in final quarter of games, throughout minor, under 20, senior. And I think if Westmeath are thereabouts, I'm probably going for a draw here in Tullamore. Probably make the thing pretty interesting. going in there. But I think Westmead are far better than they showed last week, and I think Offaly will be due warned. I suppose, guys, these are amazing games coming up. I suppose we leave it there. It's been a lengthy one tonight, but I suppose next week we'll review the round two action of Munster, Leinster and Joe McDonagh, and we'll see if we have time to mention the underage competitions as well. I suppose, guys, enjoy the games and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you liked what you heard in this podcast, why not subscribe to the Hawkeye Sidekick podcast on either Amazon, Spotify, YouTube or Twitter platforms. You can also follow me at Hawkeye Sidekick on Facebook and Twitter for the latest sporting opinions, articles and reports.